Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Is it happening?
It is.
We're in a room together.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. You just kicked our butts on Rummy Q.
Well, the second game, you won the first game handily.
Yep. And then you came in. You were like, oh, I've had enough of this. And I'm Jackie Cation. You're Laurie Kilmartin.
I'm Laurie Kilmartin. I was sitting on a terrible set of cards or tiles. And then one came through and broke it all open. And then I watched, well, I knew I had the winning tile, and I watched the three of you conspire and try to plot and figure out how you're going to get rid of your new tiles. And I'm like, guys, just relax. I'm about to crush you.
You were next. Sheila Ratner, great comic, comic of the week, probably at some point.
Oh, yeah, former.
Hopefully. And then it's her game. She did a very fascinating, hilarious Dork Forest about it.
Oh, okay.
Where she would not stop talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So as we can imagine, it's my favorite Dork Forest is people where you got to turn it off. It'd be like if you on swimming.
Sure.
Yeah. It'd be like, oh, you could still talk about this, but I'm done recording. And so we played a little Rummy Cube. That was fun.
Yeah. I want to get that for our family dinners where we play.
Oh, yeah. Game.
Yeah. We've been playing this game called Sequence, which is a card sort of chip game. It's fun.
Oh, nice. But, oh, good. Yeah.
Mix it up.
And so my foot is fine. I mean, it's sprained, but it was not broken.
Oh.
And went and got the, that's where I got the boot.
You got an MRI?
X-rays.
Okay.
Yeah, I got x-rays and sent them off to my sister-in-law, the angel of death, who is a doctor.
Oh.
And you know how Kaiser sends these things about your x-rays. They're like, this is what we read in it. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of medical speak. And Sue Onison, my sister-in-law, loves medical speak because she's a doctor. And so I sent it off to her and she wrote me back. She said, you have very boring x-rays. Be happy about that. And she said, you have this and this, and that's what all these big words mean. Mm-hmm. And everyone over 20 has that. So,
oh, okay.
Because I guess my feet have a little bit of arthritis.
My toes have a lot of arthritis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Toe arthritis.
It's not good.
No, that sounds terrible.
It's painful and...
But not in the pool.
No, I don't notice it in the pool.
Yeah.
you know, you don't have to tie everything in my life to swimming. But I thank you. I appreciate your interest and you're always trying to find a common thread.
Right.
But no.
No.
I've kicked my toes enough and broken them enough and that there's a few of them are just like... and. You know,
and that's a breeding ground. That's a breeding ground for the arthritis.
Is
when you break stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Because then
it can
get in on the little bits.
Sure.
So
yeah, one of the toes I broke right around my dad dying. So I was like, you know what, I got bigger things to worry about than this fucking toe. Well, I should have worried about it.
Oh yeah, I broke a toe. Did not know for 9 weeks. Kept buying bigger shoes. I am not. It's not smart. It isn't it wasn't my smartest.
No,
moment.
You know what? And part of me is like, it's a toe, right?
Yeah.
And then now it's just going to bother me for the rest of my life.
Yep.
And Erin Foley broke her toe, and she's wearing a boot at the Improv, and I'm like, I should have just taken the time to go the extra step like she did, because now I'm sure all of her toes are fine for the rest of her life.
Right. Well, that's my sister has a bad ankle because she didn't do that. She was like, treat the ankle with all of it.
All respect.
Yeah. All respect.
Yeah.
So get this though. 7 days. So I sprain the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
I have two sets that night that I cancel. And then I'm
still
supposed
upset
to,
about that.
Supposed to go to San Jose with Maria.
Right.
And do another show. And Maria's like, no.
Oh, I know. She told me, you told us last time.
Okay,
you had to cancel that. Yes.
Okay, so I canceled those three sets. Did not do a set until two nights ago, almost 7 days.
Horrendous.
I was insufferable to be around.
Right.
It wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Nobody was psyched.
Right.
I was like, well, what am I, why am I so upset? Why am I such a twitchy fuck? And it turns out, stand-up comedy.
Sure.
And so... to the point where I did a show for Mary Kennedy, I think previous comic of the week, and it was her she does some like, sort of mentoring class, stand-up class kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Mary Bacay, former Comic of the Week, takes the class. And so they performed, and then I closed with like 20. Got to do 15, 20, something like that. And super fun. I had the time of my life.
Yeah.
It turns out I like stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And then...
Where was it?
It was at something called the Fourth Wall over in dodgy Hollywood.
I've been there, but I can't visualize it.
It's probably Hollywood Way. I mean, Hollywood Boulevard.
Last night, I did a set at the Third Wheel. Yeah.
Really?
Also in Hollywood. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. The Fourth Wall. It should have been right by it. It was so funny, though, because it was right near this motel.
Yeah.
That literally, I don't know if they're kidding. They were, because it said that they had, I took a picture of it and put it on Instagram because it said that they had HBO and a waterbed.
Oh, that picture. Oh, yeah. I thought that was like from an old Matt Oswald book or something.
It looks like a picture from an old Matt Oswald book or something. It was, 2 days ago, Hollywood, California, where it was clearly a no-tell motel. We rent by the hour. And, But it was right there, and it was nice. It was the room only seats. I mean, full, it would probably seat 30, maybe 40. And it had 20 in it. So it looked full. Everyone kept their masks on during the show, except for, I believe, the table from Orange County. And caricatures of themselves.
Right.
And but she checked.
That should be over soon, right? Because there's a mask mandate coming down soon.
From above?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
LA
awesome.
County,
from
LA
the state?
County for sure. And maybe because Newsom survived the recall, it'll be statewide.
That'd be great. But so Mary Kennedy couldn't check vax cards at the door because of because it's the venue's choice, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But she insisted on taking everyone's temperature. She's like, watch this. Clink. And I was like, oh, good for you. Good for you. Make it a pain in the ass.
It will. You know what? It's going to be pretty soon.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because I know Flappers has been checking vaccine cards and people have been getting mad. And I'm sure all the clubs that are doing it, the store, the improv.
Even the Laugh Factory, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. So now pretty soon you can say this, you know, LA County's making us do it.
Yeah.
So then they won't get mad at.
Yeah, yeah. You can
club,
be mad.
You know, manager or hostess or host that's checking your vaccine card. You
right.
Know?
Please don't get mad at the people who work there.
I know.
They're trying to work there.
It's awful.
It's awful. And did that set. Was so excited about doing stand-up that when Mary Kennedy was like, we're going out to eat. I was like, yes, yes, we are. And so we went to, I did not even know this, here in the Valley, Little Tony's. Have you ever seen that on Lancashire?
I think so. Yeah, it's near the Chateau.
It's up. 20 years ago,
yeah,
I took an acting class at a little black box theater or office.
Right.
Like two things. And so I was there once 20 years ago. It's open till 2 a.m.
Oh, that might be one of the only places that's not like a Denny's or something, right?
Right. I mean, there's the place that we
are. Like, even Denny's open that late here?
I don't. They were pre-COVID, but the fact that Little Tony's is still open until 2 a.m. and it was packed, which was unfortunate at 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
On a Thursday, whatever, but Wednesday. And then, because the place that I usually go to is a Thai place that's open until 2 a.m. or was before COVID.
Right.
But I don't know if it still is. Mm. And it's a great Thai place on Sherman Way near Fulton. So. But Little Tony's was fine. But I, you know, I'm not a huge, like this foot, I'm tired. I'm just tired as I wrestle this foot in and out of.
Oh yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. People like I, you know, on school nights.
Yeah.
I try not to stay out late.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Cause I got to make sure my kid goes to bed. And
you gotta wrestle him out of bed.
But now I'm getting people going, how's your son? Like, well, he's almost 15.
Yeah.
But guess what? If I'm not there, who's he hanging out with? Reddit, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't want him to
raise a men's rights activist or something.
Right. I don't want him to all of a sudden just listen to, you know, the.
Yeah. Plus, you know, he's lonely.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm fun to be around. I'm a fun mom.
You're at least someone to hang with
and
watch TV with and
yes!
and have a nice.
We wind up with a little anime reading. But I feel like a lot of male comics were. You know, probably poorly raised. And so they're like, well, I was alone when I was 11. Yeah, and it didn't work out for you. I don't want my son to be you.
Right.
So stop giving me the side eye because I go home.
Right. I'm actually trying to. Well, Andy was shocked. Like, I called him and I was like, hey, I'm going to go out to dinner with these people afterwards. Do you want to come? And he was like, no. It's 10:30 at night. He's like, I'm going to go. Because he got a new job. He got a new part of his, you know, he game designs, right?
Yeah.
That's the contract job he does, you know, with clients and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he also teaches game design over at NYFA, at the New York Film Academy, which is like a tech university, right? Over by, you know, Warner Brothers and NBC.
Right.
But they just made him the chair of the game design department for a couple semesters.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which comes with a bump in pay. And he loves a spreadsheet. So I think he's going to enjoy this.
You guys should watch The Chair starring Sandra Oh on Netflix.
It's
on Netflix. It's really good.
Okay.
I mean, you know, then you'll have academics weighing in on, you know, how accurate it is. Just like stand-ups weigh in on you know, hacks or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really good. She's great. I think a Duplass is in it.
Okay.
And he's good. Everyone's good in it. It's really good.
It's well acted.
Holland Taylor.
Okay.
He's like 80 and she's going out with Sarah Paulson, who's like 48 or something. She's in it. She's a horn dog in it.
Wow.
I'm starting to gravitate to these old horn dog ladies because that's our future as stand-ups. It really is.
Right. Where you're just like, that's that bit that I was trying to work on. And then it was Kyle who told me, you were the one who told me the Marc Maron sort of definitive dating a teenager
joke. He's
got
the good one line.
I could go, because I was standing next to...
Right. There's always other ways for the ball to go to get into the hole, right?
You said ball. You said hole.
Wow. I think I'm doing a podcast with a teenager.
It's, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Because I was thinking about... like when I meet the youth,
yeah,
and, you know, and it's all when you meet some 19-year-old who you can tell doesn't think that they're good looking, and you're like, you're wrong. This is amazing. Whatever's happening here, you're all bendy, you're all smooth. Why don't you rock that? And
I'm sorry. Let me just recap. So you feel compelled to let a 19-year-old boy.
No. No.
Okay.
So the problem is that I am thinking those thoughts.
Yeah.
Or I remember one time when I was thinking that thought.
Right.
And I was like, hey, grandma, get away. So that's stand down. Stand down.
Right, right, right.
None of these young men need you anywhere near them.
Sadly, no.
It's, same. It was,
it's very depressing.
Right. It was the armed forces, the Eastern Europe armed forces thing, but I was in Turkey.
Oh, you're around troops?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was like five.
They're flirting with you.
Well,
a little bit. They're lonely.
They're clean.
They're clean. Their
they're
hair is
so
short.
Clean.
Yeah.
They're tidy. They've been forced to bathe. All of their clothes are tight, you know, and they're just strapping
shape,
young men.
Right.
Right. There's even the chubby ones are like fit and 22.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there going, what is happening? And I realized I was like, wrap it up. Nobody needs this sort of...
See, you and I, we have a part of our brain that says, this is inappropriate. I'm going to stop. A lot of comics, most of them male, don't have that part of their brain. It's not been developed yet.
Right. I remember, I think it was Fitzdog, right? Greg Fitzsimmons did a joke about how and it was Bill Dwyer.
Okay.
Where he would talk about his daughter's friends would come over and he's like, I have to leave now because his daughter was like 18 or 19.
Oh,
and
man.
He's like, nope. And I was like, good for you, brother. And, you know, it's a very low bar for the male comics of our age group.
Oh, man.
But I was, you know, it was, and that's what the joke is. The joke is essentially, it's a pretty low bar.
Yeah. No, there's room for you. There's room for you in that premise.
There's room
You'll
for
find
me
it.
In that premise. I'll figure it out. New premise. The gun joke's kind of rocking. It's got all
good.
Kinds of parts and all kinds of good things. I'm hoping to do... I've had a little bit of FOMO because I'm following Largo on Instagram.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I know
and so I was just like, nobody... Also, none of your business. You got plenty of work. You're doing fine.
I've done a couple shows at Largo and I have FOMO.
Well, that's it. I've only done one and I'm just like, well, why wasn't I? Well,
right.
Because they're spreading the wealth. It's fine.
They're slowly back, right?
Yeah.
They're back. And so he's got lots of people too.
Yeah. And I could have seen the last time I was hanging out is sort of what I was doing with Amy Mann.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Name drop.
Let me pick that up. but I hadn't listened to the Emmy award winning Amy Mann. She had just won an Emmy for her album.
Oh my God.
And I hadn't listened to it.
A Grammy.
Okay. That's it. One of the awards, one of the GOAT awards. Mm-hmm. And she was so, it's so beautiful, but I hadn't heard it. So
you heard her play it at Largo?
No, I heard her play it, a couple of the songs at on the Joko cruise.
Oh.
And so, but I didn't know that they were from the album. But now I've listened to the album 100 times and I was like, I would like to listen to those songs live, please.
I went down an Amy Mann little YouTube hole a little mm-hmm. while ago, and she had a song, I forget the name of it, but it was about having the flu or a cold.
Yeah.
And it was very like prescient, I guess.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It felt like the song for now, but she made it like 6 years ago or something.
Right. Yeah.
So did you, I mean, the whole Norm thing has been.
Oh, right. Norm McDonald. You know, here's the thing about Norm McDonald, my stepmother's favorite comic.
Right.
My brother Russ is one of his favorite comics.
Yeah,
I've explained it ad nauseum to them that I also do stand up comedy, but fine. And Norm Macdonald, not my favorite comic. I thought he was a great comic.
Yeah,
but sometimes he got too mean for me, and I was like, well, he's not really performing for me. And so I was like, I know what he's doing.
Right.
And sometimes I would laugh my fool head off.
Yeah,
at something he had said because it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But like that Courtney thing on Conan was so mean.
Oh my God. Yeah.
My brother Russ called me. He was like, you would have punched him. And I was like, no, no, I might have stood up and left.
Really?
No, I probably would have given as good as
B-O-R-E-D?
I got.
On B-O-R-E-D?
Yeah. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. The B-O-R-E-D. That was.
I mean, if you were Carrot Top or if you were Courtney?
If I were Courtney.
Oh.
Russ was like, you would have punched him if I had been Courtney. And I was like, well, it wouldn't have happened. Because I would have given as good as I got.
Right.
But if I would have been genuinely offended, I would have just been like, oh, it's been great.
Wow. I thought it was a great line. Mm-hmm. But also, it seemed, just watching her, mm-hmm. like she was also kind of not into being there, you know, or not into the things that they were supposed to talk about, the ending of Melrose Place or whatever the thing she was on. And she seemed like this was her 19th late night appearance. And so she seemed sort of bored, which sort of gave them a little room to jump in and swim around in her pool.
Yes. Right. And she didn't look, I mean, she wasn't psyched about them slamming the show, but she did look like she had been on this press tour.
Yes.
Too long.
But it also looked like she knew that chairman of the board maybe wasn't going to be an Oscar winner. And so she.
And the check clear.
Yes.
Exactly. It's hardly anything to do with you.
Yeah. But it was weird because, like, I think he's great, but, mm-hmm. you know, and part of it's weird, like, he has some really awful jokes mm-hmm. and he has some brilliant jokes, and it's like the same brain that's going to go after OJ night after night after night is also going to do some really, you know, do some other really jokes where you go, oh dude. Not necessary.
Right. I mean, you could tell that he was a button pusher.
And, yeah. I mean, right. Yes, for sure.
And you're like, that's fine in small doses.
Right.
It's not like I don't want to watch an hour of that.
I did watch a compilation of him slamming women. I was like, wow, I should have taken that in a small dose, you know?
Oh, my God.
Or slamming women writers or female you know, the whole someone put together a lot of it.
Yeah. And how long was it? Was it more than 5 minutes?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I was I understood. Got it.
I see where it's going.
You know, it's weird. Like I liken him to Adam Carolla in that sense, where mm-hmm. I feel like when they're talking to other guys, mm-hmm. it's
different.
very different. Mm-hmm. And they love to go down that, you know, thing about women. Mm-hmm. And there's no one to stop them. Mm-mm. And they're just trying to entertain each other.
Right.
And so I think sometimes they start saying things that maybe they don't actually mean, or if a woman was there, they wouldn't say, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a little cowardly, right?
Right.
Like Carolla goes, he's every 5 years, he says women are funny or something like that. But he had three writers on his show and two of us were women. Like, right. And no one was making him hire us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, okay. But all right. So what you're saying doesn't track with your actual real life.
Yeah.
And you did a podcast for a long time with Alison Rosen, who's very funny. And so it's like your actual life is different from what your worst self, on stage or in a podcast or on the radio. And
right.
Sometimes I feel like that with Norm. I don't know. I thought that with Norm, and then, you know, some female comics started posting about, you know, how he either had sexually harassed them or was like touching them, or, and I guess he was banned from a club.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because,
what club?
I don't know.
Okay.
Wait,
here we are.
It might be, this one.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just several people.
Yeah.
And this morning I read Nancy Norton had posted about something he did. And then So she posted about what he said to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then in her like a little wrap up eulogy, she called it back and made it kind of funny.
Oh, good for her.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so it's like,
yeah. Right. Well, and that's, I mean, genuinely the button pusher male comic, and there's probably a female version of it, but I can't think of any offhand.
Lampinelli? I wouldn't say she's anything like Norm. I mean, and she's no longer in comedy.
Right.
But he also, like, in addition to being like that button pusher.
But getting a rise. Like,
right. But he also had a very unique timing, and you know, some other things about him were so unique,
right?
But
super unique,
but
and
the
very
button pushing part wasn't that unique.
No, the button pushing part wasn't unique, and that's what made it hard for me to watch sort of longer sets, or for me to just,
yeah,
to have, you know, like when someone goes on stage, you kind of want to feel a level of safety of, you know, where it's going to go, even if it's like, even if it's DiPaolo, you know, you're like, oh, I know what he's going to do. Right?
Yeah, I feel safe in knowing that all of my norms will be violated.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, and it's a perfect example because I would never stay in the room. Because I would know exactly what was coming.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So there's a safety in knowing where the comic, like where their boundaries are, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, it's going to be, like if you watch Maria, mm-hmm. you know it's going to get super weird and dark at some point.
Right.
But then it's going to be super weird and silly at some point.
Right,
and it's
right.
going to swing back and forth between those two areas.
And not, but not cruel.
But never cruel.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
So it is, I think, yeah. So, but, and with Norm, sometimes it was a safe, you know, hilarious place to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it wasn't. Very alcoholic kind of a mom kind of thing where you're like, oh, is she going to beat the shit out of me, or is mm-hmm. she going to be psyched to see me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was why I could never watch sort of his longer stuff.
Mm.
And because he was genuine. But whenever somebody would send me a clip, I'd be like, holy shit, this is funny.
And he was a great talk show guest.
He was a great
talk
show guest.
Unpredictable, and the host never had any idea what he was doing.
Right. Russ has sent me any number of clips.
Oh, my God.
That's all Russ does is he watches clips of talk shows.
Yeah. So, I mean, Conan did a podcast about Norm.
Right after?
With Andy Richter. Yeah, I just listened to it yesterday. It was really good, and Frank Smiley. And Andy brought up that Norm, I forget how he got into it, but he asked Andy's ethnicity or whatever, and Andy's like Swedish German, and mm-hmm. Norm turned that into a way of calling Andy gay.
Okay,
and so Andy was like, you know, we have gay people on our, you know, like he kind of just went along with it, but it was like he had said I was always thinking there's gay people on our staff. We all have family members who are gay, you know. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, that was a very 90s and maybe even now way for male men to bash each other,
right.
straight men,
right.
or, you know, maybe men who are questioning themselves and couldn't stand it, were to call other men gay, right?
Right.
It's sort of, you know.
Right, right. And it's, and we've all, I mean, the really, so, and this isn't anything against Andy, right? Is that we've all went along with it. You know, I've spent 30 years sort of sitting next to a kid, and not every time, but more often than not, especially yeah. in the 90s, sat next to somebody slamming, you know, gays. And I remember one time some guy stormed out of a show because I think it was the headliner at Acme. I think it was featuring. So
yeah.
whenever. And whoever it was making, using the gay F word.
Right.
And the guy got up. He made a big to do about getting up and leaving. Mm-hmm. And as he goes out, he goes, "So I take it it's the new N word. I can't handle it. I want my money back." And I think they gave him his money back. But it always struck me because I was like, I think he's right. You know, for in that late 90s.
Oh, it was everywhere.
Yeah, it was yeah. everywhere.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
like it was like the stock kind of, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Is that...
What is that? My
the
neighbor's...
The lawnmower?
Can you hear the lawnmower?
Not really.
Oh, that's
like
good.
Little bits, but like
right.
much louder.
Oh, we're much louder.
Well, and the other thing, like, so... And this is so predictable. So some female comics are talking about their experience.
Sure.
And the norm defenders come in and
right.
call them unfunny or unattractive, or that they're
that it's
chasing
rude to
clout.
Do this, right? They're chasing
like,
clout because
no
he just died.
No comic wants to be known for anything besides being funny,
right?
That's
right.
all of us across
That's
the board.
That's not going to get you booked. The only thing
it
that
doesn't
gets
get
you booked.
You booked. It only gets you yelled at on Twitter
yep.
by usually anonymous accounts, you know?
Right.
And
some egg.
It just it's like ugh. It's so exhausting to even just, I wasn't even receiving it, just to read it. It was mm-hmm. like gross. You
yeah.
know?
Right. Right.
And Sarah Schaefer had a really good, she put, and anytime like when something like this happens and I'm like, I don't know how I feel. And then Sarah Schaefer seems to just write it perfectly. You know,
Sarah Schaefer's right.
It sucks that even now, even after I thought we all learned from the whole Me Too thing that it's actually really hard for women to come forward. And the reason they don't is exactly what happens when they're just, all they are is called names.
Right.
And
this must be some 16-year-old when Harvey Weinstein was arrested, who's now 20.
Maybe. Yeah.
And we have to teach every new generation? That's
not
so
all of them. Some of them are male comics, you know.
Oh, right. Who like, are 100 years old and should
yeah,
know better.
I mean, you can, people are mixed. No one's 100% good. And you can, and Norm was a great comic. And I was thinking, he's funnier to me than Louis mm-hmm. because even though I know all the stuff about Norm, what I read, mm-hmm. I'm still watching clips and laughing and going, fuck, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like Louis, whatever I know about Louis is so changed my perception of his personality that I can't really like, you need to buy someone's personality as a comic.
Yeah.
Right. And Norm, maybe his personality is like, yeah, he is an unhinged asshole at times. And so I can see him doing shitty stuff, but also it that's
yeah.
in the wheelhouse of this guy who will go on a late night show and not, you know, not prepare.
Right.
Or prepare in a way that is really off-putting. Or,
right.
Keeps the host, like, paralyzed with fear.
Right. And Norm's jokes are up here. You know, they're very much just joke. Louis is addressing usually something very uncomfortable.
True. Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, we get a curtain's been removed and you're like, hey, you're also a creep.
Hey, you caused that discomfort.
Right, right. I'm not psyched about this at all. What just happened, Drew?
Right.
So yeah. that's why it's hard to listen to him. It's
yeah.
why some of Bill Cosby's stuff is hard to listen to. But some of other Bill Cosby stuff isn't hard to listen to.
I think I don't
you're
need
done?
To hear Bill Cosby again.
Well, I've only heard like two or three, like I've heard the Noah bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard the Russell, a couple of the Russell bits.
Yeah.
So the Noah bit, I will be always a big fan of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, and we just hope that...
It's weird that you love his Noah bit, but he doesn't love the word no.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a break right now. I did a Dork Forest with Brandy Brown, by the way. And she was saying that one of the seed art, there's crop art at the Minnesota State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody did a portrait of Bill Cosby in rapeseed.
Oh, my God.
And
I don't know what rapeseed is.
It has another name.
It needs a name change. It really does.
It has another name.
Yeah.
That's what they put it under. And then they were like, wait, this is also called rapeseed. And so it was the subtlest, like, bam. And they eventually sort of took it down. They were like, this is a little too on the nose.
But Brandy is working with me at Acme in December. And when I will learn more about the crop seed stuff. I see her posting. I'm like, I can't get into this. It's going to take me too many tweets.
Right.
And so I'll see her in person. Between shows, I'm sure I'm going to get the entire rundown on seeds.
And so that's December at Acme?
Yeah, 8 through 11.
8 through 11. I'm going back to Acme November 4th for their 30th anniversary.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, just to hang out for the week and,
oh, cool.
And do short sets, mm-hmm. bunch of comics. And then just hang out and party a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'll see Lewis, my comedy dad.
Yeah.
And then my brother and brothers and sister.
Okay.
So, but I will say, let us take a break.
Congratulations! You've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely, you cannot, because we're here to talk to you about pumpernickel bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave.
Jackie.
Yes.
Do you know the difference between an antiperspirant and a deodorant?
No.
Don't have to answer that one, because I do. Antiperspirants contain aluminum, which temporarily plugs sweat glands to stop you from sweating.
Oof.
Native deodorant is made with ingredients you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. It's got over 10 scents, including their classics and rotating seasonals. Oh, interesting.
Nice.
You're guaranteed to find one you love. Their classics are coconut and vanilla, lavender rose, cucumber mint. Okay, this is what I'm wearing. Eucalyptus mint. And they also offer unscented options and a baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. I don't know. I guess I'm not going to invite you to smell my armpit right now, but
it'd be a whole new level.
It's good. I'm telling you right now, it's good.
I'm wearing the lavender rose. So,
Okay.
And I like it actually. It's, I got lavender rose and I got the vanilla coconut, which I'm kind of scared to use because I wonder how strong it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
But, the lavender rose is, it smells really good to me on me.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it's a perfume, right?
No.
I actually really like it. And
I do too.
That'll be great.
I did not sweat. We just played outdoors mm-hmm. in the California heat. I did not sweat. Right now, you can save 20% on your first purchase of Native deodorant. Go to Native Deo, D-E-O.
Oh, really?
Native Deo.
Okay.
.com/JackieLaurie. Use a promo code Jackie Laurie at checkout and you will get 20% off your first purchase.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Try that eucalyptus mint. I love it. I smell great, if I can say so myself.
Awesome. You guys, I don't know if you know this, but this podcast is also sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy.
Mm.
It doesn't matter who you are or what you have or where you're at, right? Life is really stressful. So, we're in a pandemic. Everybody's trying to help each other. Everybody's trying to be good to each other. Mm-hmm. It's stressful. You know, just we're taking a lot on ourselves. But, and even if you're not feeling down or out or depressed, but stress is high and you could probably use a chance to unload. You gotta unload the brain box every now and then. So talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life. Someone who isn't going to judge you and take sides on anything. It's called therapy, you guys. You'll be surprised at how much it can help. So BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. And it's more affordable than in-person therapy. So see if it's for you. If you need to bleed off some of this nonsense, try BetterHelp. And this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And Jackie and Lori listeners can get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/Jackie Lori. So better, BetterHelp.com/Jackie Lori. So have your first session in under 48 hours at BetterHelp.com/Jackie Lori. And just, you know, just check it out for a month.
Yeah.
And there's different, they have different people. If, you know, you can try different people. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good idea. Everyone needs someone that they can talk to. So if you haven't found someone to talk to, and a stranger is sometimes the best way to be able to be honest about some stuff.
Yeah. And stand-up comedy isn't therapy. I mean,
no,
it makes you feel better sometimes, yep. But mm-hmm. it's not therapy.
Right.
You know, no one's going to help you work on stuff.
Right.
They're
just
going to lead you down a terrible path. Comic of the Week, right?
Oh, and Comic of the Week.
Oh, yeah. Right? I just worked with her.
Yeah.
At Largo. Sorry for FOMOing you up, Jackie. Monique Moreau,
spelled like?
Like Island of Doctor.
And her Twitter handle is at Big Bad Butt, B-U-T-T.
Look, she has a bad butt, and she needs you to know about it.
She has a big bad butt?
It didn't look big to me.
All right.
You know?
It's nice.
It was a bad butt. Bad in a good way. Big right. bad butt.
Big bad butt.
Here's the thing. She has autism.
Okay.
And she talks about it. And she's a really, really funny chunk about how autistic people love trains.
Okay.
It's hilarious. So I don't know if she has that online.
Sure.
But try to find her. She works, you know, she works in LA a lot. She works all over the place. She's really funny. Monique Moreau.
Do eat. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Did you see? Okay. So the other thing. So I feel like the people getting mad at the female comics who were saying Norm, you know,
oh, right.
has a mixed legacy, right? Then this unleashed, it always unleashes. I feel like a lot of male comics are nice to us, but then there's like something right under the surface and they just need one little thing to peel it back, right? And let me see. Oh, no, but
to me,
person.
Oh, to me.
You? Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Not to me.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
All right.
So there were some comics, some female comics had a show called, it was a flyer for a show on Twitter called Men Aren't Funny, right?
Men Aren't Funny, which is
it's a reference to the old Christopher Hitchens article on Vanity Fair, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's all
it is.
Guess what? We're all trying to get fucking people to come out of their hidey holes into our shows, okay? So if this works, good.
Right, right. Everyone has to name a damn flyer.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. So a male headliner...
Yeah.
Pretty popular.
Right.
Just like quote tweets it, this is an actual show, you know? Oh. And then it was just like.
He got all mad, right?
Cascade. Not mad, but making fun of like, can you believe this is right?
Can you believe that someone would name this? This isn't helpful. Yeah.
We're not helpful. It's just like these women aren't funny.
God. And then it turned into that immediately.
It turned into that immediately. Women, periods. It was like a whole, the replies were all women are funny. They only talk at their periods, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. It was just like, oh my God. And it just was like, you know, Robin Tran was tweeting about it too. And she had said like, women, if you look at the lineups, it's not 50% women. No. In LA or any place, really.
Or anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Hardly any place, right? So it's like, well, you get your own, start your own show, right? And then they do, oh, look at this fucking show.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know? It turns out you can't win.
No, you
from
can't
assholes.
Win. And the only way to get better as a comic is to get up on stage.
Yep.
You need a ton of stage time. Mm-hmm. So they found a way to get some stage time. Why yeah. would you? And then go, oh, I saw someone's, this one's open mic thing on YouTube. They're not funny. Well, I don't know. I don't trust your judgment on what funny is or not. But if they're not and they're doing the thing that makes you funnier, why are you mad about that?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why? And like, oh, I know why.
Oh, you know why.
Yeah. You know,
we all know why.
It's just, it was like the day after everyone, you know, was
sad.
Piling on those women. So
the women
just
who
like,
made the comments about Norm. Yeah, it came
exhausting.
Right on the heels of that. Yeah. I will say that Irene, too, has some great jokes about periods.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just, you know.
You know, why shouldn't we all? It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
And we let men tell us that...
We have to listen to them and their weird... Their bodily function jokes.
Can I have a set from a man without hearing about a semen?
Yeah.
No offense, Kyle. But one set. I gotta hear about your jizz and the quality and the yeah. color, okay? And how far it squirts out. Can I just have one 20-minute set without that?
Wow, I think you just described every 35-week run that I did in the 90s. It's, I will
Seriously.
Say. Yeah.
But I mean, and you and I were told, absolutely do not bring
absolutely
it up.
Absolutely do not.
You will not get booked again.
Yep.
You will be considered a female comic, which is, of course, the worst thing.
The worst thing you can
and
be
it's,
considered.
And it's like, this is still happening.
Right.
And there's so many fucking
funny women. Yeah.
You know, I guess I could get it in like 1982 when there were three female comics and maybe you're a misogynist and you hated all of them, right?
Right. Right, right.
Then there's this other thing of, and this is not her fault at all.
Okay.
But there's a whole bunch of guys, and I feel like Norm was one of them, where it was like, I don't like women. Women are funny. Well, Sarah's great. like they'll give themselves one female comic
right.
to love.
Yeah,
and that happens to be one of the most attractive women in comedy.
Right.
What
right.
a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
You guys, a lot of women aren't funny. You know who's really funny? Nikki Glaser. It turns out she is really funny, as is Sarah Silverman.
Yes.
But also regular features, does sit-ups. It's all working out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and just there's a whole bunch of other female comics that you may not want to fuck. But guess what? They're really funny.
As
and could
well.
Your brain open a little bit
yeah.
so that if someone isn't in your fuck wheelhouse, you could still consider them
yeah.
to be funny,
you know,
but not so... It's like they're so far at your fuck wheelhouse. You're like, all right, they're... Like they're a lesbian and they've never been with. Okay, I'll let one lesbian in as well. Mm-hmm. It's like a super hot one that I could fuck and one who would never fuck me.
Right,
and
right.
That's it.
That's
and
it.
Everyone in between. Your period.
Right. I will say, because speaking of, you know, having to do the time to get the time, right, or to get the time to do the time is, so this, the Mary Kennedy show that I did, it was like six comics and they were all doing tens.
Yeah.
And they were the first time that some of them had done tens. And so they got lost in it and they, you know, they didn't know where they were and they were, it was because they had done 1,000 fives, right? But the only way to do 10 is to do 10.
Yeah.
The only way to do 45 is to do 45.
Sure.
The first couple of times you do it, it's going to be a little uneven.
Right, right, right.
And and then she was like, I don't think she asked me to do this, but I heard she was like, because she paid me to do the gig. And I was like, well, did you wanted me to do notes, right? She was like, yes, yes, I do want you to do notes. And I didn't know, I don't think she did ask me to do notes. And so, but I'm such a freaking meddler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do notes, it's... As far as I'm concerned, if you want to do stand-up comedy, that's your mistake, right? Who am I to discourage you to do something
right.
if you really want to do it?
Your parents already did something terrible to you. Jack,
right.
You can't make up for that.
You've made that decision already, so it can't possibly. So I will say that there's plenty there. You know, there's all six of them. They were all very different. I think it was like five women and two men or five women and one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my memory is a sieve, but they all had like these very unique stories.
Mm-hmm.
And all the women were, you know, they were all super different. You mm-hmm. know, there's no two comics, whatever they, even if they look exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
If you take any two straight white guys and put them next to each other,
right,
they have different unique voices, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you can get mixed up, you know, if you're half in the bag after the show and you go, I love that joke you did about Chicago. And you're like, well, that was the feature. And, you know, which I've heard any number of, you know, male comics tell that story, right? Yeah. About how they get mixed up with the other white male comics on the show. Mm-hmm. It's only happened to me once because it was only one show on the road that was booked that was all three women that it was Bynum. It was Gary Bynum.
You know, it's weird. These...
And he asked me about it. He said, you know, I accidentally did this. You don't care, do you? And I said, no.
Here's the thing. Like, Gary Bynum is very cheap. Mm-hmm. Like, he's pathologically cheap. You know who else is pathologically cheap? Al Martin in New York.
Okay.
All right. I love Al. Right.
What does he book?
He used to own New York Comedy Club.
Okay.
Now he owns the Broadway in Greenwich Village and whatever. But it's like he was, you know, you could tease him about
it. Right.
He was incredibly cheap, right?
Right.
Like he had to be dragged kicking and screaming to up his weekend pay to match the other clubs, right?
Right.
But he always had at least one woman on a show, frequently two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. Like some of these super cheap guys, like I think I've complained about this
before. You could also get women real cheap.
Well, what was cheap about them is he paid the men as little as he paid the women.
Bam!
And so it's easy for them to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's funny how, when the New York was trying to unionize and stuff or whatever the coalition, and, you know, everyone was appalled. It was all guys. Mm-hmm. It was like the women were like, yeah, but this guy gives me a lot of spots. And
yeah.
These people, you're asking me to worry about your spots on these all male shows.
Yeah.
Me, a woman.
Yeah.
Because this guy gives me spots.
Yeah. And so I was telling Patrick Ford about Roger Feeney in Patrick Ford owns Alameda and Roger Feeney, I always forget if he owns it,
Ann Arbor.
Yeah. But he, because Roger, for 20 years, has always talked about how he does one woman headliner a month, which, by the way, is amazing.
It's amazing, like it could
except
be
for
more.
It's 12. That means that there's 40 spots for dudes.
Yeah.
But there are 12 spots for women, which a lot of clubs don't
even do now.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just like, it's not a bad place to start, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's take a break.
Hi, I'm Annabelle Gurrich.
And I'm Laura House.
And we're the hosts of Tiny Victories.
My tiny victory is that I sewed that button back on the day after it broke.
We talk about that little thing that you did that's a big deal to you, but nobody else cares.
Did you get that Guggenheim Genius Award?
We don't want to hear from you.
We want little bitty tiny victories.
My tiny victory is a tattoo that I added onto this past weekend.
Let's talk about it.
My victory is that I'm 1 year cancer free, but my tiny victory is that I took all of the cushions off the couch, pounded them out, put them back, and it looks so great.
So if you're like us and you want to celebrate the tiny achievements of ordinary people, listen to Tiny Victories.
It's on every Monday on Maximum Fun.
But yeah, I have two sets tonight. I'm going to drag my booted butt.
Yeah.
To a place called The Faded Show, which is an outdoor show in Hollywood.
I just did that one. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing the West Side at 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing the West Side on Saturday. I think so. I think I'm doing the 10 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm doing Blanket Patch's late night show.
Oh, fun. Where is that?
It's at an outdoor
Largo?
Venue in downtown LA.
Okay.
I have to get there at 6. That's why I didn't want to do this.
Oh, right.
So it's just a set and a sit down, but I think that people are also watching on Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Because Nowhere Club's producing it.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the thing you did, but
he's doing late night.
It's in person.
He's doing a live version of it. Oh,
yeah,
that's
neat.
That's real neat.
So, it'll be kind of fun to be, very fun to be part of that. Dana Gould's on the show as well.
Oh my God. I don't know why I'm more excited because you're so funny.
But I've seen I just work with Dana at Flappers, and you know, he just loves monkey analogies.
He
on completely different jokes, he's gonna reference Planet of the Apes, Bubbles the Chimp, King Kong. I'm like, this is a 15 minutes. The dude,
the orangutan from Clint
animal.
Eastwood.
Yes.
Yeah, he loves He loves a primate. Let there be primate. Hello and welcome, Cheetah from the Tarzan films. It's I just want, that is so awesome. It is because it's so true. And
he's on it. And then Saturday, I'm doing a show in Burbank, like at a little bar. I forget the name of it.
Oh, cool.
And this will be dropping past it, so I'm not poorly promoting it, although I guess I am right now. And then I'm a little open next week.
Yeah.
The week that this is dropping, I'm a little open.
Yeah. Feel free to knock yourselves out. But the thing, Josh was telling me over at Flappers, he's like, just tell me when you want sets and stuff. So I do have to say that a friend of mine, a friend of mine, someone I've known off and on, like from the old day job and stuff, she, I was talking to her last week and she goes, I went and saw stand up at the Ha Ha Cafe. And I was like, no,
you didn't. Again with your Ha Ha discrimination.
Have you been recently?
I haven't been in a while.
I haven't been in 20 years.
Okay, Jackie, maybe you're not up on everything at the moment. No. If you haven't been to a club in 20 years.
Prior. It's still accurate.
And guys, let me tell you something. This is
a spot's a spot.
I'm not saying I wouldn't go up. Okay. I'm just saying that. So this is how she described it. She said, two of the comics were drunk. One of them was really funny, but drunk. And the other one wasn't. And then Jay Moore was there. So those were the three comics she remembered. A drunk guy who was funny, a drunk guy that wasn't funny, and Jay Moore, you guys. And she said, Jay Moore was pretty funny. And I said, good. Who cares? I mean, did I go up? No. And I said,
yeah, I don't want to hear about a show I wasn't on.
Well, I said, you want to go see stand up, first of all, and you want to stay in the valley, go to Flappers. And second of all, you have my phone number. I'm probably up. Why don't you come and be an audience member in my audience? And then two more people would have showed up. And that would have been great. Hmm. Anyway. That's where I'm at with that. I do have sets the rest of the week, I'm pretty sure, but I can't remember any of them. So feel free to go to my Twitter and check it out. I really want to do a Sunday Zoom again, but I've been so tired with this fucking foot. I was such a pill about it, man. I was like,
dude, I would be enraged if I was in a boot for a week.
I had to give Andy a dollar at one point because I felt like a burden. And I was like, here's my burden dollar. And he took it.
What an interesting marriage you have. I was watching Scenes from a Marriage. Have you seen that?
No. Nope.
I didn't. It's off the old Ingmar
Bergman.
Ingmar.
Yeah.
Ingmar Bergman. Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, I haven't seen that one, but I was because it was the elbow kiss. It was the guy, Oscar Isaac, who went in. Did you see? It was all over Twitter. He and Jessica Chastain were on the red carpet. They were promoting the film and someone slowed down a kiss that he gave her, like kind of on the elbow and in the armpit, which in another light could be considered inappropriate, but I guess they're old friends and it's fine.
Oh wait, it was an old friend. They're not lovers.
No, I mean in the thing they are. Yeah.
Ew.
Actors. You know what?
They're actors.
They are creeps.
They're creeps.
They fucking fondle each other in scenes.
That's it. They're empty vessels, Jackie.
They really are.
We pour a script into them. They turn into humans. And so, fair enough. I was somebody. I had some elbow squeezer at a live show not long ago where I was just like, I literally said someone once referred to the skin on the elbow is the elbow scrotum. And I was like, this is how I'm dealing with someone elbow squeezing me now. I said, don't touch my elbow scrotum. And he literally hands off of me.
The word scrotum.
Yeah. He heard the word scrotum and he thought he might be gay. It's 1996 again, you guys. Hi. No, I don't know why, but he freaked the fuck out and he took his hands off of me. And so guess who won? Me.
Yeah.
But I had to say the word scrotum to do it, which is never my favorite word. but I've already said it three times in this podcast.
You have.
That's a lot.
Three too many times.
Where are we at here, Kyle?
Yes.
Kyle.
Minutes left.
Minutes. That's under five. Under five.
Under five.
Okay. Right. Good to hear it. I saw. Did you see? You probably aren't watching the What Ifs.
No.
I'm watching all the What Ifs. The Marvel What Ifs.
No.
Chadwick Boseman is in three of them.
Oh, I heard super about those.
Super fun.
Yes.
And he is delightful. Michael B. Jordan was in this week's.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael B. Jordan, even as a cartoon character, super handsome.
Yeah. He cleaned up nice.
Oh, yeah. From The Wire?
Yeah. Yeah,
from
yeah,
being
yeah.
11?
Yeah.
But it's sort of like those French movies where the way the French cast young girls,
yeah.
You're just like, oh, my God, that girl is going to be the most beautiful. She's going to be luminescent when she's 18 or 19.
Mm.
And because there was some French film I watched several years ago, and this girl was like 9 or 10, and I was like, oh my God, she's good. And then this was a decade ago, and I've mm-hmm. recently saw her in some magazine or something. And I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, this yeah. kid said, I think casting people can see gorgeous people inside of children.
Well, yeah.
If they're looking for it.
It's so funny because he was such a skinny, like a classic, just skinny.
Skinny little kid.
Skinny, just arms and legs, mm-hmm. you know, a teenager. And now he's just, well, you know what he is.
Oh yeah.
He's
I do know. I do
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
He's Killmonger. He's Killmonger, and he's super.
And he's much younger than we are.
He's so much younger than we are, but he might be the best looking person on the planet. That's what Jared at the Comedy Addict said once.
Oh, really?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.